This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. Even though many of us were not alive in the early 1930s, chances are good we've heard of Bonnie and Clyde. Their story has been told so many times it has become the legend of Bonnie and Clyde. The infamous outlaw couple made quite the impression on American pop folklore. Their heyday was during the Great Depression, and many had lost faith in the system, in particular, banking. And the public sort of romanticized the gangsters. And they stuck with Willard Blaylock. Now 92, Blaylock was alive and 12 years old in 1933 when the duo's crime spree led them to Arkansas. Blaylock remembers his elders talking about their escapades and was so fascinated that he has spent years researching them. Blaylock was the speaker at yesterday's Crawford County Chronicles speaker series at the Drennan Scott House in Van Buren. I spoke with him before his talk and asked him how a barmaid and a jailbird wound up in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
They had robbed a bank over in down there in Dallas. Clyde liked fast cars, and he liked to drive fast. And so going down the road one day, two men sitting on the porch of a house there said, he better slow down or he's going to turn over. There's a curve down there. About that time, he turned over. The car caught fire. Bonnie was screaming and crying, couldn't get out. And so two men came running down from the house. And they said, oh, we can't, it's too hot, we can't get to it. And he pulled out his pistol, said, do you want to die here or do you want to help the car? So they turned the car over, they turned it up where she could get out, and she was crying and screaming. So
Bonnie was badly burned. Blaylock has her autopsy report, which says she had burns on her face and body from this very accident. She needed time to recuperate, so members of their crew came to a Fort Smith tourist court to rest, but not after a close call with a sheriff and a deputy in Texas.
Said, take your hands up. And so they took the guns from the sheriff and his deputy and tied them to a fence post with barbed wire. Didn't have anything else but barbed wire. But that would give them a chance to get maybe 15 or 20 minutes down the road. And they put all the quilts and pillows and everything they could in the car for the comfort of Bonnie. The next morning, they show up at a tourist court here in Fort Smith. And that's how they got into Fort Smith. That's how they got into it. They lived to live there for Bonnie to try to recuperate.
They spent 2 weeks at that Fort Smith motor court, joined by Clyde's brother, Buck, who had just gotten out of prison, and his wife, Blanche, who came up to help take care of Bonnie. In the meantime, during those 2 weeks, they ran out of money.
So they decided, two of them decided, we'll go to Fayetteville. Now that's where Fayetteville comes in. And we'll rob a couple of grocery stores, which they did.
It's said that Clyde preferred to rob small stores rather than banks and such. The second store they robbed in Fayetteville, that man saw the license plate number and called Alma. But Alma didn't have a police department. They had a marshal that had only been working a couple of months. His son had the AEC service station in Alma.
The father, the marshal, was Henry Humphrey, and the son was Vernon Humphrey. They called Vernon and tell him what's happening. Well, that suited the marshal Henry just fine, because the day before, as he walked down the street in Alma, pickup sitting there, and just about the time he got even with the pickup and even with the bank there in Alma, two men stepped out of that, took him by the arm, took him in the bank, and tied him to an iron post that was in the bank. And then they rolled a little safe outside, and he was real unhappy about that, that they'd done this to him, so he was really looking forward to it. And so they left Federal and came tearing down to Alma.
After that shootout with the marshal, they got in the marshal's car. Blaylock says they didn't get but a mile down the road before they got a flat tire. And while they were fixing that flat, a couple Blaylock knew stopped to see if they could help them.
Well, they could. They pulled out their pistol and said, you take this car over here, we're going to take yours. And so there's two or three ideas and thoughts relative to where did they go after that then. And one of them was that they went to Winslow and tried to come back on a dirt road somewhere and got lost and went to a house there to find out something. And I don't think they did at all, because later that night they came back to Van Buren and left their car up on Mount Vista. It was the same car that they'd gotten from this man up here. And so they left their car, went down and crossed the railroad track and went to over to Dennis Court, where it's just a short distance away. Told them what happened. They loaded up Bonnie and everything in there, and away they went that night and stole one of the cars there in the parking lot. Mm-hmm.
I asked how they managed to not get caught, and Blaylock says it was because there wasn't much communication between people those days. He says most of the news they received about Bonnie and Clyde was after the fact. They received one weekly newspaper, his family, from Kansas City. Blaylock himself just listened real close to his elders. When the duo first arrived at that tourist court in Fort Smith, to explain Bonnie's burns, they told Miss Dennis, the owner, that they were camping out and an oil stove exploded. Miss Dennis thought they needed a doctor.
He came every morning then, there in Fort Smith, every morning to check on her. Well, when they did leave, in the night, they stole some of the bed clothing and things to put on Bonnie to take with her. The next morning when the Miss Dennis found this out and she called the police, and they said, oh, no, we can't come out there on that. That's not big enough. There are some real outlaws here in Fort Smith, and we're working on that, and we'll talk to you later. It was a week before they finally got out there and then found out that the ones they were looking for just out there. Okay.
The end was near for Bonnie and Clyde. Four Texas officers and two from Louisiana threw a hail of bullets onto the couple, bringing the duo to their death in May of 1934. But I'll let Blaylock tell that story.
They trusted a man who's a friend of theirs. They go down in Louisiana from time to time where they had some distant relatives. And sometimes they'd just visit, sometimes they'd stay all night. And so one of their smaller cohorts was in prison. And the man said, if you'll... told the sheriff, if you let my son out of prison, I'll help you get Bonnie and Clyde. And so he said, all right, do it. So when next time he heard they were coming, he set up his little pickup truck out there and took a wheel off. He was working on it. They'd think he had a flat. They pulled up and stopped. And when they did, there were sheriff and one deputy over here, sheriff, two deputies over here, and they just riddled that car. And Bonnie had a pistol in her lap, and he had a sawed-off shotgun in his lap, but they never knew what happened. It just killed him instantly. Mm-hmm. He went down, and they were taken down to a nearby town, a small town, about 200 population, still sitting in the car. They pulled the car down there, parked it in front of the funeral home, and just let people come by and look at it. And they said before the day was over, 2,000 people had been by to look at that little thing here. So.
Proof of the fascination they had earned from the American public, and earning them a place in American folklore and pop culture. There are songs and books written about them, movies about them both literally and symbolically, and their escapades in Crawford County are something Blaylock will never forget. He began studying them in depth about 20 years ago. He would have been 72, and I suppose he had some more time on his hands. He's somewhat of the Bonnie and Clyde expert for the region, and this isn't the first time his voice has hit the airwaves.
I was on the radio once in Fort Smith, and they said, we just want you to answer the questions that people call in. We're going to have a call in. And one woman called in and said, do you think Bonnie and Clyde had sex? I said, well, they were in their early 20s. You should fill that in. But I can imagine what it would be if Bonnie had gotten pregnant there, and they were out here in St. Louis, Missouri, or somewhere like that. Form your own opinion on that.
He isn't just an expert on Bonnie and Clyde. He's studied up on many people, things, and events that have made history in his home region. As it turns out, he just has an interest in people.
I've just always been interested in the background of people and where they came from and what they do and this sort of thing. And, of course, this Bonnie and Clyde stirred up my interest with all the things that they were doing.
You can expect to hear more talks from Blaylock in the future. One about two brothers in Chester. A Mormon leader that stopped in as well. The World War II veteran has stories of his time at war. Blaylock is passionate about his stories. At 92, he doesn't look a day over 75, and he's sharp as a tack. Wearing a large cowboy hat and boots, he manages around the historic Drennan Scott House just fine on his own. He says he's participating in the Chronicle series to draw attention to this house and to the stories of the area.
To increase the visibility of this facility here. And with this Bonnie and Clyde, that's going to have more people up here that might not be up here at all to see this. And then if we have somebody else later on, they'll get more people knowing what's here in Van Buren. I didn't know it was up here, and I was just right down under the hill there until the last 10 years, and with some of the former owners that I knew, one of the sons. And I like to tell things that just like it happened. You can hear so many things now.
Warren Blaylock is a businessman, teacher, veteran, livestock farmer, and auctioneer. He told the tale of Bonnie and Clyde yesterday at the Drennan Scott House in Van Buren during the speaker series Crawford County Chronicles. To learn more about the series, call Tom Wing at 479-262-2750.